Many people after getting cheated on turn into detectives. People think that it's just the grief or the anger or the shock, but for many people it's the scanning and the constant red alert mental state that they get into that's the most exhausting. It's like your nervous system's been shattered and it's now trying to reassemble safety by being aware of everything. You've probably heard before the idea that your brain is automatically filtering out thousands of pieces of information pretty much every second, because if you were to experience it all at the same time, it would be overwhelming. And though it isn't literally true, it's as if after infidelity, you're actually just experiencing every single piece of information because you're trying to make sure that you don't miss anything because you can't be fooled again. And I think it's because your body has learned a terrifying lesson, which is that you didn't see it coming. And so to prevent this from happening again, your nervous system shifts into a permanent or semi-permanent state of high alert. And this isn't a choice. It doesn't mean it happens to everyone, but for those that it happens to, it happens automatically as a physiological survival mechanism. And it's like a detective at the scene of the crime, going over the crime scene again and again and again with a bigger magnifying glass this time, or with a second set of eyes as they tell their friend the story again. It's pulling up security footage, watching it, pulling up the phone logs, often literally, and just looking for anything new that it might have missed. And it's not just revisiting the old data, it's obsessed with what's happening right now too. It could be small things, like how they answer the phone. Why do they say hello instead of their normal hello? Why do they start using a yellow heart emoji instead of a red? So whenever they walk into the garage or the bathroom with their phone, whenever they're more than 5 minutes late from when they said they'd get home. And for some people, the exhaustion makes sense because they might still be in danger. They don't know whether this person is trustworthy. But for some people, this is still happening after the danger is long gone. This could be even with a new partner in the future. But it's like you're living in a war zone when you're actually just sitting on your couch. And when I talk to people, and when I work with my clients, this is one of the most painful things that we help them get through. But what's really surprising, as awful and heartbreaking and painful as it is, people will stay in this loop as a means of avoiding. Feeling everything that there is to feel after infidelity is really hard. So for some people, scanning constantly logically is a way to detach from their emotions. The emotions of grief, of sadness, of shock. It could be a way to detach from action. You might know deep down that you need to leave the relationship, but leaving is hard, terrifying, and final. But looping, constantly scanning, the brain almost prefers that chaos of figuring it out instead of walking away. And it feels productive even when you know it isn't. It could even be a distraction from forgiveness. You may know deep in your heart and your soul that you want to forgive this person, but forgiveness is vulnerable, and so you tell yourself, once I gather all the data, then I'll do it. Staying angry and vigilant feels more powerful than having to be vulnerable and forgive. And then there's just the addiction to the chaos and the cortisol. Surprisingly, some people just begin to rely on that feeling of being on high alert. It fills the void, it gives the brain a job to do, and it prevents silence, where sadness otherwise might sneak in. And when you're in this hypervigilant scanning state, your brain often loses the ability to be objective. You begin to read into everything. And what's really tragic is when people start to read into their own thoughts and their own actions and their own emotions. Like, when she said, I want to make this work, I felt a flutter in my heart. Does that mean that we actually are soulmates? You start reading into everything. Healing requires pretty rigorously separating facts from interpretations. And this isn't me saying that your emotions aren't real. I'm saying to treat the emotion just as an emotion. It is not a sign from God of something deeper. So let's take a scenario where they walk into the bathroom with their phone. The fact is that they're in the bathroom and the door is closed. The interpretation might be they must be texting someone else right now. Or with going to the garage. The fact is they walked out to the garage for 5 minutes and then came back in. the interpretation is they must be making a secret phone call. Or even your own anxiety. The only fact of the matter is that your heart rate is up and your chest is tight. It's an interpretation to say, my body knows something I don't. I must be unsafe. Sometimes that's just a habitual state that your body's gotten trapped in. It doesn't necessarily mean anything. Learn to be in awareness of your body. Learn to take clues from your body, but you cannot read into everything. And feeling unsafe is different than being in danger. And both are important, but it's important to know the difference as well. But just to be clear, this is not paranoia. Paranoia is an irrational fear based on delusion. Hypervigilance is a overhyped fear based on past evidence. And for most people, it's precisely because it's based on past evidence that it gets so heightened. It might be more heightened than it needs to be right now, but it is based on evidence, and so it's not paranoia. It is not just craziness, and it's not weakness. And it also isn't a sign that you don't forgive, or that you don't love, or that you're not serious about the relationship. Most of the time, it's a trauma response. It's that you're trying to regain control. You're just trying to verify reality. And overall, you're just trying to feel safe. And so one very important thing to remember is that this is a problem of thinking too much. And so you're not going to find your answer by thinking more. You can't think your way out of this particular problem. One of the most practical things you can do is set limits and rules for yourself to allow this behavior to exist in smaller doses. So give your detective a schedule. Tell yourself, I'm allowed to obsess over this between this time and this time. Give yourself 30 minutes to go crazy and know that you can come back to that the next day. And then during the day, outside of that window, when you get the urge, try just waiting 10 minutes. If you still have the urge after 10 minutes, maybe you can make an exception. But immediately giving in is sort of confirming to your body that the threat is real, but giving yourself at least that time, that buffer, re-emphasizes to yourself that you don't have to be doing this right now because you're not actually in danger. Anything you can do to ground yourself into the present moment is helpful as well. For a lot of people, it can just be being aware of what your senses are taking in that actual moment. So your feet on the floor, things that you can see, things you can smell. It just takes you out of the past and in and out of hypotheticals into reality. Now, for most people, this will help with a lot of the just day by day. You know, you're in the middle of something important and you just need a way to like get through that at the very least. Deeper healing probably requires deeper work, which I can help with because something's broken and that needs to heal. And your brain is trying to protect you by just ensuring that you're never blindsided again. But you can't live your whole life with zero trust in yourself and zero trust in your surroundings. At some point, you have to decide to step out of that chaos loop. You have to decide that even though you can't control your surroundings, you can't control what they're going to do when they take their phone out to the garage, you can control how much energy you feed that fear. You can control ways to learn to trust yourself again. Not necessarily trusting that they won't hurt you or that someone else will never hurt you, but trusting that if they do, you will be okay.